Good to go.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I call this special meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 2:02 p.m. on Wednesday, October 28th, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis. Also present are Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman. So we have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchuk?
I don't either, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Christman?
I do. So I'm kind of excited, a little bit frustrated because of the technology, but when this morning I had an invitation sometime back to meet virtually this morning with a class of Dickinson High School students, the instructors, Mr. Jeremy Warner, and I said that once today to Jeremy Warner, and just hats off to him. The point of the session was civic engagement that he promotes, and he said over the years it's usually involved field trips and things like that, and we talked about what the PSC does and what kind of various career path job opportunities would be here, things I see in the future, and one of the things I there was a little bit of misunderstanding. It was much longer than I thought it was going to be, and so there was just a lot of back and forth. And what was just so exciting was that the students, like the name of the course says, civic engagement, they were engaged. They asked me questions. Some of them were, you know, simple answers because we get used to dealing with these things and what seems obvious isn't so obvious to those who don't. Some of them were, like, enormously complex, you know, big national, global types of issues. But it is wonderful to see a class of really, I guess I didn't see them, but to work with a class of really engaged young people like that. And so hats off to them and hats off to Mr. Warner.
Okay, very good. Well, we have two agenda items. I'm going to start with my first. I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU-20-344.
Second.
Okay, on July 17th, 2020, Montana Dakota Utilities Company, otherwise referred to as MDU, filed a change to its transmission cost adjustment rate 59. To reflect updated transmission costs, revenues, and costs. On August 5th, 2020, the Commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, which provided until September 19th, 2020, for receiving written comments and hearing requests. And this is an important point. No request for formal hearing was received as a result of that. On October 16th, 2020, the Commission discussed the matter with MDU during an informal hearing. And as a result of that informal hearing on October 20th, 2020, MDU filed supplemental information and alternative rate options requested by the Commission during the October 16th informal hearing. MDU filed updated transmission cost adjustment rates to reflect projected revenue requirements associated with six new and six previously approved transmission projects, projected costs and revenues of transmission services provided by the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator and the Southwest Power Pool, in addition to an under-recovery balance from July 2019 through June 2020. For residential customers, the rate change requested by the company would be an increase of $3.35 a month for an average residential customer using 894 kilowatt hours per month. The Commission believes that due to the COVID-19 pandemic and its resulting economic challenges on customers, it is appropriate to defer the under-recovered balance for 1 year to be recovered from July of 2021 through June of 2022. Deferring the under-recovery balance as described in MDU's October 20th, 2020 supplemental filing. And without going into the various rates, because you get into very small, less than 1 cent per kilowatt hour numbers, what it changes the request to from the $3.35 that MDU requested, it would change it to $2.55 per month. And I just want to make some points on starting with the rider in terms of what it exists for. And the rider exists to reduce the frequency of rate cases, which invariably have a significant impact on customers. It also helps control energy costs, which, like everything else, increases over the course of time. And if you think of it as the cost of a home, cost of a car, the cost of groceries, inflation has an impact. So we are doing what we can to control that. Based on statute, the commission has limited flexibility in the recovery amount. Regulated utilities are entitled recovery for these costs. And that's the trade-off in regulating utilities to control costs. They also are entitled to a fair return. However, given the current impact of the pandemic, the proposal that has just been put forth is to fully exercise what limited authority we do have to mitigate the impact in the short term to the extent possible, and especially for low-income households. Now, do I personally know what the future holds in terms of where things will be at in 1 year? No, I simply don't. However, given the current information from the medical community, widespread COVID vaccination will occur over the next 12 months. That's been well covered in the news. And knowing that, it's likely we will be in a better position 1 year from now from an economic standpoint. One thing, headlines typically point out a change in rate, but they don't explain the purpose of a transmission rider or the other riders that are a part of a customer's bill. The transmission rider exists for several important reasons. The first is to ensure critical delivery of reliable electricity to homes, businesses, and emergency services across North Dakota, especially when it's 30 below in January or February, which is not that far away, or 100 degrees in the summer months. So reliable delivery is incredibly important. And when you think of a state like California that continues to make the news due to a lack of reliability with their transmission system in particular, that's been widely recognized as a failure to not make the proper investment in transmission infrastructure at critical times. So it's important from a reliability standpoint, incredibly important, but it also provides access, the fact that MDU or the other utilities we regulate are a part of RTO's regional transmission organizations. It provides access to low-cost and affordable energy compared to open market purchases. So while a customer will see the transmission rider, that expense on their bill, what they don't see are the hundreds of dollars literally in energy savings that result from having access to lower energy prices. And that's incredibly important. So it's when a headline reads rates are increasing, it doesn't tell the other side of the story, which is this transmission rider or transmission investment the fact that MDU and the others are members of RTOs, it does provide access to low-cost energy that consumers benefit from. And North Dakota has long been a low-cost energy leader in terms of price. And we certainly want to keep that as the current and future reality as well. The final point I'll make, it's been publicized that AARP has weighed in on this, and they did choose or decided not to intervene in the case. They had the opportunity to do so, but I suspect that they also recognize that the process is dictated by law. And again, the trade-off in regulating utilities to control overall costs is that those utilities are also entitled to a fair return on their investment, which is typically less than 10% on an annualized basis. So I support this particular motion. We had a lot of discussion, and I think given the current situation and the fact that, well, I shouldn't say fact, but the prospect that conditions will improve for the reasons that I mentioned earlier, I think this is a prudent course of action, and this is a motion that I would support. Commissioner Fedorchuk?
I don't have any comments right now.
Commissioner Christman?
Well, first of all, kudos to you, Mr. Chairman. For people that are listening, one of the things with delaying something like this, it continues to get worse. And so nobody likes to see their rates go up, but the longer we wait, the more they go up. The fact of the matter is these companies have normal billing cycles, and I think like today or tomorrow or something is about the last day that whatever we do here could appear in the November billing cycle. And this took a lot of thorough analysis, and our staff and all of us, but especially you, Mr. Chairman, have put a lot into it, but done it in a way where we were able to do it, but got it done quickly enough to move something forward here in the November budget cycle, which is going to be helpful in the long run to the consumers. So hats off to you on that. I do, however, feel that there's an even better way to ultimately move it forward. And so I'm going to make a substitute motion. And if I get a second and we get a chance, I'll explain the details more. So I move the commission adopt a substitute motion, and that motion would be that I move the commission adopt the order approving the updated transmission facility cost adjustment rate with a 24-month recovery period for the under-recovered rider balance in Montana Dakota Utilities Company transmission facility cost recovery rates, case number PU-20-344.
Second. Sorry.
We're ready for discussion.
We have a motion. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Sensing none.
I believe. Well, go ahead. What's your question?
Is it my turn for discussion, or?
I believe we would vote on the substitute motion first. Is that correct, Jack? And then that would be on the floor for discussion at that point in time?
Unless you want to discuss the substitute motion. You could vote on the substitute motion and then open up discussion.
But currently, just to make sure we're doing this right, don't we have two motions on the floor right now?
Yes.
When does discussion take place?
So normally the substitute motion occurs, and that's to substitute the motion. The subsequent motion would be Commissioner Christman's then motion, which wouldn't, after the second for that point, would have discussion.
So right now, just
if you
voting whether to substitute
discussion.
Yeah.
All right. So we vote on that.
We have a motion and a second on a substitute motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay.
Nay.
Motion is approved. We now have the substitute motion on the floor. Is there any discussion?
It would go to you since you presented the motion, followed by okay. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
So I won't repeat a lot of the things that you explained very well, Mr. Chairman, on the reasons for the existence of the rider and our limited flexibility and the fact that the company's entitled to recovery and that sort of thing. This really gets to the same place, just a little bit quicker track. And I really am glad that previously, Mr. Chairman, you had brought up something different than what the original proposal was, to take some of the bite out of this increase in this COVID time. However, like so many things in life, some risk comes with reward. And I guess I want to be optimistic, too, about COVID ending and things being a lot better next year. But the fact of the matter is there are some other things in sight, too. As we continue to build out more renewables around the nation, with all of those comes the need for additional transmission in order to make it work out. And so the RTOs are continuing to do things that add more costs. I don't know how the election next week is going to come out, but one thing that has been stated over and over, and I know that not every campaign promise ends up to be ultimately promoted even, but one of the candidates has been clear in his desire to roll back the tax cuts that we've had the last 3.5 or 4 years. But has also at other times said, well, no, it'll just be the cuts that rich people and corporations experienced. But in either case, included in that is corporations like MDU. And when MDU was a beneficiary of the tax cuts under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, this commission, and I am proud as can be of this, we sent a unified message and insisted that the regulated companies in North Dakota return every penny of their tax savings to the customers. We passed that on. So depending on how the election goes, one has to believe there's at least some chance of those tax increases striking home for us next year and us needing to pass that on. So there could be that potential rate increase. As I said, other transmission development, just as there was in the previous year, coming next year. So I'm a little concerned about the original motion here to delay all of it. I think what this motion does is start it now, but spread it over 2 years. It still gets that rate increase from the company's projected $3.35 per month. It gets it down under $3 to $2.95. So we still achieve that goal. I wish it were zero, or I wish it were something less, but I think that this substitute motion brings us to the best achievable balance between the risk and rewards of delaying the recovery on this.
Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Commissioner Christman. I agree that this is the right approach and strikes the right balance between providing some relief, recognizing these extenuating circumstances that folks are experiencing with COVID, and also trying to remain as true as we can to the principles of rate making that have stood the test of time, and that is trying to match as close as possible costs to the people who caused them in the time that they were caused. And so putting things off just tends to get further and further from that tradition and that policy. And it's a gamble in the future. And I also agree that the future as it relates to transmission is a pretty big question mark. There's a lot of discussion every time regulators get together about one of the main solutions being for managing the uncertainty of renewables in the grid, which is a significant challenge. One of the main solutions being talked about time and again is more transmission. So I think that as the utilities respond to what we're being told is customer demand for more renewables, and as more and more folks get behind the desire to transition to a larger renewable portfolio, there's going to be more transmission needed to support that, and the costs for that transmission, which are recovered through this rider, are likely to go up. So I think it would be risky to put off the entire balance an entire year, and we can, you know, mitigate it some, recognizing COVID and the economic challenges of it, and while also not ensuring that all of it has to be recovered in the next go-around for this rider. So I think this is the right balance.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Fedorchak and Commissioner Christman. Just to provide some context, because so people don't misunderstand what the whole amount is, the amount that the different scenarios reflect would be the under-recovered balance. The entire filing was for $6.3 million. My proposal motion was... an order was mitigating was $1.648 million. So the bulk of it was still going to be reflected, which is why the rate would be $2.55 a month. So just to put this in order so everyone understands who's listening, you know, aside from the company, which obviously understands, and staff as well. But for anyone else, the proposed... increase was $3.35. The option that I presented would lower that to $2.55. The motion that's on the floor right now is for $2.95. So just so everyone has the difference between the two motions is 40 cents a month, or approximately $5 a year. So again, we're very limited in what we can do based on statute, and as much as some people, including myself, don't like rate increases of any kind, again, there is a distinct benefit to this particular rider in terms of what the cost does, and I would equate this to having a Sam's Club membership, and if you think about individuals that purchase a Sam's Club membership. Again, this is the equivalent of being a member of an RTO. It gives access, it provides access to lower cost goods, in this case, lower cost energy. So there's a definite return to the consumer. It just doesn't directly show up on the bill. And that's understandably something that might be more difficult for a lot of consumers to follow in terms of what energy pricing is or isn't. But again, North Dakota ranks incredibly well in terms of low-cost energy. I think I have a little, and I'm not saying that my colleagues don't have confidence in the future. I know they do. But I do have a high level of confidence in the fact that I believe conditions will be better a year from now as compared to today. You know, all signs point in that direction. The medical community is certainly pointed in that direction, and only time will tell. And again, I don't have a crystal ball. I only know what the current situation is today, and I thought it was a... I don't believe that it's incredibly risky, but and case in point, over the past 5 years, this rider has gone up at times. It's gone down at times. It hasn't always gone up. It's remained flat at times. This year was very unusual in terms of the cost, in part because of the undercollected balance, and that was a projection. Issue with the projection in terms of what the company would both receive in revenue, I believe, and also was charged for services from the RTOs. And speaking of the RTOs, we have great representation on the RTOs between MISO representation and SPP representation. So that actually gives me a high level of confidence as well. The fact that both of you represent the commission incredibly well with those RTOs. So, you know, just looking at the 5-year average has been, and I didn't bring that figure in, but it was covered, I believe, in a recent story. And I should have had that with, but I don't. But it's been under a dollar per year in terms of the change on a monthly basis. So I'll just close with this. Although I will vote for the substitute motion, it's with a degree of reservation and you know certainly some level of disappointment that my proposed motion didn't pass in the ensuing order. However, I also can't ignore the law, even when the timing is less than ideal, and we certainly recognize that, but there are more benefits to having this type of statute in place and structure in place for consumers, because ultimately the benefits far exceed any moments in time where it's not as appealing. But I just can't erode a process that over the long term has kept any energy prices very low for North Dakota consumers and businesses. And again, as mentioned, emergency services, small town businesses up and down Main Street. I just felt there was another option at our disposal, but that is sometimes how life works. So out of respect for statute and the law, again, I'm going to support the substitute motion.
Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner Christman?
I do think, because we had a lot of comments and our public input on this case, I don't know how many are listening, and you had discussed what the average residential rate increase would be. I just want to highlight for the folks that are listening that difference between 255, that would be the impact for the average residential in the original motion, and 295 in this. That's not like finding an item that you want to buy on sale at a different store, and so now you pay $255 instead of $295, but you still have it. The whatever amount of dollars that the utility is recovering with that 40 cents, those dollars for the next year would continue to return equity to them, and then starting next year, that return plus those dollars would need to be recovered. So delaying it does kind of increase the amount of it. So it's not like just finding a better sale price is, I guess, the point I wanted to make.
No, and I think that's fair, but we did those calculations, and the difference is between $8,000 and $12,000 a year.
Right.
Total. On $1.648 million. So it's extremely low. It's almost, and, you know, at the same time, well, it's based on the Treasury yield, which is woefully low right now. So very little impact, in my opinion, based on that. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Yeah, and just to underscore, I think the most important point for ratepayers to understand is, regardless of how or when that money is collected, it's going to be collected. They will have to pay it. So it's not like, oh, we could pay $255 and be done, or we could pay $335 and be done. It's just a matter of when. And I think that this approach is kind of the middle of the road approach that spreads those costs over 2 years versus one, and mitigates the price tag for today, but ultimately all the dollars are going to be collected from consumers. There was no getting out of actually that amount.
Okay, any other comments, Commissioner Christman?
No, sir.
Okay, Steve, I believe we're done with discussion.
We have a motion. I'm sensing no further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I think the second one's going to go a little quicker, so we'll find out. I move the commission adopt the amended order submitting rules to Attorney General for an opinion as to the legality in the Public Service Commission Weights and Measures rulemaking case number WM-20-369 and Public Service Commission Pipeline Safety rulemaking case number GS-20-370.
Second.
And we'll just have one small adjustment. We have two ins in the motion, and we'll replace one of those with the second one. This dates back just a little bit. On August 26th, 2020, the North Dakota Public Service Commission issued a formal notice of intent to adopt and amend administrative rules and notice of public hearing and abbreviated notice of intent to adopt and amend administrative rules and notice of public hearing proposing amendments to Article 69-10 and proposing to amend Section 69-09-03-02 of the North Dakota Administrative Code. On August 26, 2020 and September 2, 2020, Commission staff filed statements regarding the required regulatory analysis, small entity analysis, and takings assessment for the captioned cases. Also on October 26, the Commission forwarded the notices to the Legislative Council for publications at least 30 days in advance of the hearing. The notice was published during the weeks of September 1 through September 7th. And on September 28, 2020, the Commission held the public hearing as noticed, beginning at 10 a.m. in the Commission hearing room. The Commission allowed a comment period of until October 8th, during which the Commission received and considered data views, as well as written and oral comments concerning the proposed rulemaking as part of the rulemaking record. And I'm going to jump to really what would be the heart of this, and that is Section 69-10-04-06.2, which is on page 37 of the document each of you have. And we will be taking that language out. It's related to registered service persons and the evaluation of those persons and the procedures, again, related to those persons for evaluation. Elsewhere in the rules and also in policy, this is covered. So it's covered in a little different way procedurally, but nonetheless, it is covered. So these individuals that are out in the field are being evaluated. Again, persons that I'm referring to would be the registered service persons. So it cleans things up, but at the end of the day, the function is still occurring as it should.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, well, that concludes the agenda. So we'll adjourn the meeting if there aren't any scheduling requests.
I don't know.
This is the only other thing we could do in a special meeting. Seeing none, we are adjourned.